Derby Spirit has pinched the Oaks by four lengths.
But a champion becomes a legend. Makati Deaver has won it.
Hello and welcome to the penultimate episode of .com and the Den. Monday's a surefire cure for Monday itis. We've got three group ones from Eagle Farm to discuss, as well as a couple of very nice performances at Flemington, even some international offerings to digest. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, of course, is my stable mate from Wolf Den, Richard Irvin. Rich, welcome. How was your weekend?
It was fantastic. It's very cold in Sydney. It might even be colder than down in Melbourne. You might dispute that. But my weekend was great. It was pretty slow and steady. Public holiday in New South Wales today. So I'm going to knock this show out, then go home and spend a bit of time with the family. Life's good.
Beautiful. All right. Well, let's get into the straight six.
The straight six.
Chris Waller's record breaking 19th Group 1 win of the season. That broke his own record, mind you. And there's obviously more Group 1s these days, but still a fantastic achievement. And this wasn't the strongest Group 1 sprint, Rich, but it was still the best field in the race this Queensland Carnival. And Jolly Star, who I reckon's probably maybe in the 7 to 10 range in terms of Chris Waller's horses, if we were to rank them, she's now got a Group 1 weight for age win to go with her handicap win in the Newmarket, and also that 1,000 guineas sort of against her own age and sex over the mile. So she's stacking him up, but he's just got such an embarrassment of riches. She's not even in his top group.
Oh, she's pretty good, but I agree with what you're saying. If you sit down and look at them all, there's, yeah, she's got some talent, but I think the big thing that I took out of her win was her desire. Like, what you want in a racehorse is a desire to win. And we saw that with her on Saturday. And you said she's got the trilogy now, the three-year-old Group 1, she's got the handicap Group 1, and she's got the weight for age Group 1. And I reckon if they put her through the sales ring, she'd go close to getting more than... It was Zugotcha, yep, wasn't it, that sold for $5.25 million, the stablemate? I reckon she'd go close to getting more than that. She's just... Yeah, she's done it all, really, and there's still plenty of racing left in her. And, of course, they'll tip her out now, head towards the Everest. Incredible win. Love her. I've always loved Jolie Star. What about Giga Kick? Any mail on Giga Kick?
Well, not as yet. I mean, that was my big question out of the race, and it was more like, well, where's Giga Kick at? I haven't spoken to Clay. Giga Kick certainly isn't the horse he was. I wonder whether he comes up for the Everest, and if so... Is there even a slot for him on form? Look, his best runs have been in that race. So, you know, that's the obvious question. But, I mean, he sure as hell isn't beating Kai Ying Rising. Although I think a lot of slot holders will see this as they're racing for second anyway, if all things present equal.
Yes. I think they'll probably head towards the Everest again. Is Giga Kick in the top 12 sprinters in Australia? Let's say top 11 because Kai Ying Rising's coming.
Maybe.
Probably. I guess the tricky thing with him, though, is he won't... Well, Clayton might have to get him up and about early, so he has a couple starts before the Everest, so people can make a better decision about whether or not they want to give him a slot. He hasn't been terrible, has he? I think the general consensus is he's just not racing at the level he was, and he got that injury, so it never helps getting injuries. Always can take that yard of pace out of them.
When you have the performances that he's had in the past, it's like we expect these horses to just... Dangling myself in the cord there. We expect these horses to reach such great heights and just keep on lifting and lifting and lifting, but they're going to flatten out eventually. He's terrific, but it's been a long time between drinks now for Giga Kick. And, I mean, he was so close to winning his second Everest, but ultimately he's still sort of 2 years without a win just about.
But, I mean, if you drop him back in grade, if you drop him back like Group 2 or Group 3, he'd win with a leg in the air. Clayton will work it out. Over to the paddock now. Jolly Star's going to the paddock as well. No Stradbroke, so that... The Stradbroke's really thinning out. I thought we might have a look at the market and chat about it. So War Machine up the top. My gut feeling is that War Machine will probably continue to firm. When you look at the other horses there, Jolly Star won't be there. Komochi was pretty good on Saturday. I thought Rise at Dawn was pretty good. I thought I'd probably rather back Rise at Dawn and Komochi other than the second place getters. It was Zarastro and then also Golden Mile. I just thought that Rise at Dawn and Komochi, especially Rise at Dawn, he hadn't had a run for a while, and I thought it wasn't too bad. I could see him come out and winning a Stradbroke.
He might bounce really well off that 1 week break, and he is, like you said, going to drop significantly in weight. I do think it's advantage War Machine, and it's certainly not a banner field for the Stradbroke. It has dropped away, and that is impacted by the weather. Bizzasto is going to go to the Strabo. Now, he opted, or connections of Bizzasto, opted for the Fred Best instead of the Kingsford Smith to get that extra few days break. Now, it was a disappointing run, Rich. We'll take a look at the race. I don't think you put a line through him off this run. I would
just point him out, however, for people. Roger's in the red there, isn't he, in the Rosemont colours?
Red, yeah, Rosemont with the blue sleeves, the Rosemont Alliance colours. So he just was a bit of a flat run. The winner, Spicy Martini, who has long showed some good ability, might be peaking at the perfect time. So she might be one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, but the interesting thing too is that last year's winner, Steffi Magnetica, won the Stradbroke and sort of failed or didn't run particularly well in the Fred Best before that. So it's an interesting setup for Bizzasto. Bizzasto's obviously got a lot of talent. Maybe he just didn't like Doom and Track that day. So look, they're going to have another throw at the stumps, Team Archibald and Team Rosemont. Another interesting horse is Angel Capital. I saw that it had a trial during the week at the Gold Coast, and Chris Waller hasn't ruled out sending him around in the Stradbroke. Wouldn't that be incredible if he could win a Stradbroke basically first up, because he hasn't had a start since February, I think. It'd be very unlike Chris Waller to, you know, give a horse that kind of task, but maybe he's a colt. They want to try and, you know, maybe get a Group 1. Stradbroke's pretty good on the CV. So do you think there's any chance Angel Capital line up in a Stradbroke?
I honestly have no idea what the Waller stable could do, and and whatever they do is the best decision because they know their stuff.
Indeed.
Let's move on now to the Queensland Oaks. And first and foremost, great headline strap. Yu Wang answers Oaks call. I liked it. I was disappointed in Philia. Really keen on her after that Roses win. Benegill surprised me. Was terrific again. I thought she might be the end of her prep. I'm excited to see where she can go as a four-year-old mare. But all credit to Chris Lees, who had the winner Yu Wang ready to roll in her grand final, because her lead-up form had been nothing to write home about. She was the best horse on the day.
Yeah. Both the winners and the winner in the derby, which we'll talk about soon, just that classic, it's just sort of escalating through their prep, running in sort of midweek races, a bit of, you know, Saturday Metro winter race, and then come out and win a Group 1. Perfectly placed by Chris Lees, as you say. It's his third Queensland Oaks. I thought Panito was the horse I want to follow most out of the race. Philia, yeah, like was very flat at the top of the straight and then boxed on okay. I think just the pressure of Group 1 racing got to her. She'll come back again, no doubt. Obviously, I'd assume she'll go to the paddock now. And Benegill, Zara had the opportunity to follow the winner, and then he just decided to, you know, sort of go where there's a lot more horses and a bit more of a ruck. And I probably think he wanted to do that because he's a bit worried about the track pattern where it seemed like the inside lanes weren't as good. But if he had followed Yu Wang, he would have got a seamless ride through and might have even won the race. But it's all easy in hindsight. And that's the thing with Benegill is that she's always going to get into a bit of trouble the way that she races. But she's been very consistent. Interesting to see her go on as a four-year-old.
Yeah, well, because when she does get it right, she's going to win a lot of good races. But she's just got to start getting it right more often than not. Let's go to the Derby, where a filly went out favourite there as well, Bell to Towel. It was a stable Cornella for the O'Shea Charlton stable. Maison Louis defied his breeding to an extent, but showed he's a stayer on the rise. Really nice prospect. Start number 7, Derby win, fourth victory of his career. This was a messy race in a way, but again, credit to the winner because he is a horse who's quite progressive.
Yeah, once again, just slowly rise through the grades. Third Group 1 of the autumn season, autumn winter season for Tom and John O'Shea. So wonderful to see. So both these horses were bought out of New Zealand. I think the winner was $250,000, King of Thunder was $50,000, and Linebacker, which won the Randwick Guineas, which was the first Group 1 they had before they had Schwartz. He was bought out of New Zealand as well. I think he was $160,000. So they love going over to New Zealand, O'Shea and Charlton, and buying these good horses. What did you think of J-Mac's ride on Belle de Tel, Rog?
I hadn't delved too far into it, to be honest, Rich. And I will not pot J-Mac on a ride because that bloke can ride a broomstick home. And as we know, you know, after his win on Jolly Star, he's closing in on Ollie's record and he's in his mid-30s. And he's also closing in. I think he's got a couple more to go to try and get the record for most Group 1s in a season. So if you want to pot James, go right ahead.
So he's on 15 Group 1s, and if he wins one more, he ties Malcolm Johnson, which would be incredible. Yeah. It was a funny ride. Like, he kind of snagged him right back, which was snagged her right back. And then he kind of lit her up mid-race. It was a bit strange. I guess if, like, Belle de Tel just absolutely bolted in like Warmonger did last year or Antino, everyone would be saying what a good ride. But I don't know. I just, yeah, it wasn't one of his best rides. He didn't look happy after the race as well. as J-Mac often isn't. Statuario was pretty disappointing, and he looked like he's come to the end of his prep. And I think I listened to the jockey's comments, and 8 or 9 of them all said, end of the prep, you know, time to tip him out. So
that's not surprising when you get to sort of this point of the year in the carnival. I've got to give myself a pat on the back and a clip at the same time. I actually tipped Mason Louis on Moody on the mic, but with about as little a confidence as you've ever heard anyone do it, to the point that nobody would have bothered filling in. I actually wasn't even going to back up myself 2 minutes before the jump. So I whacked $10 on. Party Crasher comes out, cops some deductions as well. But it was a bit, I was excited and a bit flat. I'll get a new pair of shoes out of it, but you know, I probably could have given it a bit more gusto. But going into this race, it was, as we call on Media on the mic, we say a pineapple, because, like, you know, the answer's a pineapple, who knows? And that's how I saw this race. But I did end up, that was a bit my only collect for the day, actually. Hey, let's head to Flemington, where there was a race where every man, his wife, their dog, cat, cousins, was on Miss Olay. She was backed into even money, carried 58 kilos, and it took every ounce of her talent and guts to get home. She did not as dominant as many expected, but I thought she showed one very important characteristic you want to see in a two-year-old, and that is a will to win, Richard.
Desire, Rog, desire. That's the, we should put the name of the show as Desire. Because this is a bit like Jolie Star.
Feels a bit late to change it.
Yeah. This is a bit like, no, I meant the sort of the YouTube thumbnail headline. We might even call it that. Might call it Desire. But, yeah, she has that strong desire to win. So Clint McDonald has a big opinion. They're talking Coolmore Stud Stakes in the spring. Good luck to him. And my takeaway is if he has that strong an opinion, well, we better follow the place getters. Espana was very good. And Son of Kirk as well ran on very well for Team Friedman. And Son of Kirk is by Ole Kirk, as is the winner. And I think Ole Kirk is going to easily win the, what do you call it, the first season size premiership.
There was a... Ole Kirk's. Absolutely. And there was a third Son of Ole Kirk in the race too, actually. Finished a bit further down in the placings. But you're right, he'll smash that in, throwing some very nice types. And of course, that family just continues to produce, because Ole Kirk is out of a full sister to Black Caviar. So that bloodline just continues to produce. Yeah. So, yes, Son of Kirk. I thought Son of Kirk was under pressure a long way out, but he still continued to fight on and fight on and was actually making ground right towards the end. I was pretty impressed with that performance. But, yeah always Clinton, when he gives a two-year-old a push, there's always good money for it. So I'd love to know how much he had on it, because he does love a bet, does Clinton McDonald. One of the better stories in racing is that of Oh Too Good, trained by Kevin Daffy. He's only horse. One horse. She's
this
good.
This is a fairy tale, Rog.
It is. She looked really nice last spring. Two runs back this prep may be a little underwhelming, but, gee, she was impressive on Saturday. Absolutely smoked them. And it wasn't exactly Spuds behind her. It was Jimmy the Bear, who was even money, and Regal Vow, who many, including myself, have a pretty reasonable opinion of.
It was a benchmark 100, wasn't it? And it just pushed button by Ben Allen. Ben Allen actually rode the Miss Olay earlier in that day. He had a double. This completed his double. And it was a lovely ride by Ben Allen. There was a bit of pace on early in the race, and Ben Allen just took his time and just sort of sat there, and he just looked at it. And he had clean air too. Oh Too Good. She had clean air. And then when he was in the straight, loomed up and then pushed the button. That's what I like to see. Just when he pushed the button, she really extended. And I think you've got to look at the spring with her as well. They said that they'll look towards the Winter Series final at Flemington, which is on July the 5th, and then you'd think they'd tip her out and bring her back for some, I don't know, where you aim in the spring. Maybe you go to some of those, you know, bigger, the Let's Elope or the Matriarch or something like that. She's pretty good. Do you think I'm getting a bit ahead of myself that you wouldn't?
No, I'd be very interested to see how she comes back if they aim towards the spring. This is the sort of story that can have cut through in the mainstream media as well. And I speak that as someone who tries constantly to get racing stories into the mainstream media. But this trainer with one horse up against the likes of Waller and Maher and all that, this is the sort of story that interests your NRPs, your non-racing people. So sure. I hope for racing's sake, as much as for Kevin Daffy's sake, that she is right up to that standard, because I think it has the potential to be a really, really great story.
Yeah. Bring on spring.
Yeah, and bring on the overseas racing too. Let's head to the United States.
Plenty going on overseas over the weekend.
Absolutely, yeah, not just on the track. We're going to head to Belmont. Now, there were some races of consequence, not the Belmont Stakes, which you'll take us through in a tick, but the Group 2 Belmont Gold Cup. And it was, well, it was supposed to be a race of consequence to Australia and to the Melbourne Cup because it offered the winner a golden ticket. The trophy was at the track of part of the VRC's Melbourne Cup tour. And Matt Hill went along for a junket, called the race, no issue. The issue was the shithouse conditions, and the race got shifted from the turf to the dirt.
Amazing.
And not like the day before, but on the day. So they've gone, actually, no, we've got to get this run. We'll just shift it over there onto the dirt track. And so that brings this winner, Parchment Party, right into it because he's a dirt track specialist. He salutes. Absolutely no chance of taking up the gold ticket in the cup because he's no good on turf. So in hindsight, it's a wasted exercise. Yes, they bring that whole Melbourne thing to a big race day in the States, but I think they're desperate for an American horse to take up that golden ticket, and this will be the second year in a row that it hasn't happened.
Probably won't happen, yeah. Yeah, I don't have much to say about that. Let's go to the Epsom Derby. So Lambourne won. Coolmore had three horses in the race. Lambourne was one of the rougher options, but it was a front-running ride and win. Yeah, nice-looking horse. I think that's the third year in a row that Coolmore have won it. City of Troy, they won it last year and the year before that. Auguste Rodin. I don't know much about what happens over there, but they say that the Epsom Derby is just about the pinnacle of the races you can win. And let's go over to the Belmont Stakes, which is the last leg of the Triple Crown. Now, you've got Sovereignty there going past Journalism, and I reckon these two are very, very good horses. People are saying that Sovereignty is the best three-year-old in the world. Hard to argue. I think this year's, what was it, Kentucky Derby into the Preakness, into the...
Well, Sovereignty didn't run in the Preakness, did he?
No, it didn't. So, and that was what was interesting. They decided to you know, obviously you can't win a Triple Crown if you're not in all three races. So they decided to forego the Preakness and go have a bit of a let up and then go into the Belmont. It looks like it worked out perfectly. He looks like a real nice type. Obviously it's on dirt, but you know, the Dubai World Cup's on dirt. And I just think that people will remember this Triple Crown because it was fantastic racing between Journalism and Sovereignty. And I think the third horse in that race also ran third in the Derby. So, yeah, piqued my attention and I'll be following them pretty closely as they go on their journey. And obviously from the two biggest stables in the world, Sovereignty, Godolphin, Journalism's Coolmore.
And you know what piques my attention? What happens in the stewards' room? Let's go.
Exciting, exciting.
Steward speed round.
Stewards' room speed round.
Okay, let's start at Flemington. A couple of reprimands. Matty Cartwright got a careless riding one on Son of Kirk in race two. Jet Stanley got one on Neptunite, which actually finished last. So hardly seems worth it, Jet. Severe reprimand. So gone from reprimand to severe reprimand. As it reminds me of Homer Simpson going, President. No, wait. Vice President. No, wait. Junior Vice President. I digress. Declan Bates, careless riding, Riverina Power. Suspensions, Logan Bates copped 10 meetings for careless riding on Ruakaka Raider. Mystery Island got EIPH. Son of Kirk attempted a buck, so copped a warning there in race two. One Hard Lady, delayed recovery, needs a vet clearance out of race four. And Macram for the Hayes boys in race seven had a cardiac arrhythmia. That's the second time, so he is suspended, needs a vet clearance. Up to Eagle Farm, Robbie Dolan got a reprimand for careless riding in race four. Mark Zara in race eight, careless riding. And we've got two suspensions. G Rook, I don't know G Rook, but 14 days. Commencing midnight on June 15. And Jamie Mott actually got one from Doomben last Wednesday, which they've got in the Saturday Stewards Report. He got 11 days commencing today. So Jamie will not be riding this weekend at Eagle Farm. Let's get into Cook the Book.
Cook the Book.
All right, Rich, it's a bit of a different Cook the Book this week because Kingsley Bartholomew, scratched. Tom Hackett, late scratching.
There's only two chefs left in the kitchen for the cooking.
And, well, it's very much, the segment is very much Tom and Kings's segment, but they're leaving it to us. But Tommy has been very good enough to send us through the results from the weekend. As we can see there, Jolly Star in the Kingsford Smith Cup. This was a big swing because the photo finish, I know Tom was actually very keen on Zarastro, and if it had got up, it would have meant an extra 500,000 in the pocket for Ladbrokes. But Jolly Star cost the book 141,960 Giga Kick. Not surprisingly, given it's that brand name horse, was the worst liability. Yu Wang in the Queensland Oaks, 300 grand for the book. Filia, well, yeah, that would have been death riding it, almost a $400,000 liability. She's a dealer, interesting, and the other biggest risk. And Statriario Statuario, 700 grand liability.
So they came hard for it, didn't they? They must have been pushing it too, Ladbrokes.
They were, yeah. They really took on, Tommy said, they took on Statuario. So it paid off there. Maison Louis, $181,000 profit in the derby. If we go down to Flemington now, and that, like I said, there was a lot of money for Miss Olay, absolutely dominated the betting, and that was a $206,000 loss for the Ladbrokes book. But then you go to race five, and it was a similar story with Jimmy the Bear, backed into even money. But, you know, $700,000 Jimmy was when he won the week before. Liability down to $193,580 this week. And obviously he ran second, oh too good, a winner for the Ladbrokes book. So as you can see, a big swing there, $450,000 plus overall. Eagle Farm was a fill-up for Ladbrokes, $800,000. 7 out of 10 races went the way of the bookies, only 3 for the punters. But Flemington was a bit more even, so Ladbrokes finishing just ahead. But, yeah, it was a dire battle all day between book and punter, Rich.
That's it, yep. Seems $800,000 profit on Eagle Farm's pretty good. Let's hope that the punters can strike back next week. A big Super Saturday. That's a good segue, actually, because we're doing a Mates Mode pot next Saturday for Stradbroke Day. It'd be good to try and, I don't know, damage a Ladbrokes Day for that. We're also doing one on Thursday night for State of Origin Greyhound Night. We're doing a live stream on that as well. So there's plenty going on for Stradbroke Week between the Den and Ladbrokes and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, will be fun.
Sneak peek.
It is a good race day this Saturday. Hey, before we go, I just got to mention the sad passing of Robbie Lang, a Group 1 reigning trainer. Adam Melmington passed away, passed away in his sleep on Saturday night after being at the races on Saturday at Flemington, and his horse finishing second about 50-1 in the last. But Robbie Lang was a character. He had his issues over the journey, but he was a terrific trainer. And I'll never forget, as a young racing reporter at Channel 10 back when Polanski, who was, you know, famously a $4,000 purchase, won the Derby. Now, I went to Robbie's property. Polanski was working, and he said to me, yeah, you know, he's just run, he's done 800s, pulled up, wasn't even blowing. Like, the way he pumped up Polanski, he couldn't see it getting beaten. Now, I've never, and to this day, and I've done hundreds of racing stories, I have never heard a trainer as confident as Robbie Lang was about Polanski winning that Derby. And, you know, the advantages of working at a commercial network in the Spring Carnival back then was tickets into marquees and free booze. So me and my best mate go along in the James Bogues marquee, And we absolutely loaded up on Polanski. So we got
what price was it?
$8.
Delicious.
Free piss, free food, and an absolute fill up courtesy of Robbie Lang. So I still to this day I thank him, and Robbie, may you rest in peace.
I read the story and it was very sad. And the thing that made me most sad was he had 8 kids. I'm sure those 8 kids are devastated. So thinking of them, very sad news, Rog.
Yeah, much like Polanski these days, could throw a few good ones. Good side, Robbie Lang. This week at this week's races, as you touched on already, Rich, it's a big day at Eagle Farm. We have got the Stradbroke. Also, Rayman's favourite race, the best 2-year-old form race in the country, as he'll tell you, the JJ Atkins and the Q22. And we head to Sandown for Melbourne Racing as well.
Yeah, Winter Series Racing at Melbourne. Huge day up at Eagle Farm. Been great to do the show, Rog. You stay warm. What is the temperature where you are? It was 4 degrees this morning in Sydney.
Yeah, it'd be about that here. I think it's a top of 12 today. My wife is off to the MCG for the Collingwood Melbourne game, and she is in thermals.
Yeah. All right. Enjoy your public holiday if you have one, and we'll see you next week. Thank you, Rog.
What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.